Happy Thanksgiving, Mayor Butler.
Same to you, Tom. Always glad to talk to you.
You know, I always like talking to you, especially when we've got some good news to report. And and I'll tell you, I think I even made a little excited yip whenever I heard that Gander Mountain was coming to Marion, Illinois.
Oh, yes. That's a good reason for excitement.
If this sounds asinine, sorry, why aren't they using the Starbonds area? Why are they going their own? Do you know?
Well, as a matter of fact, the site that they're going to be located on was originally a part of the acreage planned for the Starbond. They would not have met the strict requirements under the Starbond legislation. And so the Starbond did not come into play.
Here's some things I've learned about Gander Mountain in doing some research that I think are interesting. One, it was once a publicly traded company. It's not anymore. It's privately owned company.
Mm-hmm.
It started as a catalog company, and then they built a brick-and-mortar location. They have 150 stores. I've got another story that says 126, but I've got Wikipedia reports 152 stores in 26 states. And the reason it's called Gander Mountain, even though they came from, I think, Wilmot, Wisconsin, or something along this line, that right across the county line, or the state line, because it's named for a mountain in Illinois called Gander Mountain, which is the highest point in Lake County, Illinois. Those were some of the bits that I kind of gleaned about Gander.
I didn't know that. I figured that Gander came from a goose or a duck or something.
Yeah, that was my first thought, too. You know, but it's named after the highest point in Lake County, Illinois, Gander Mountain. So, you know,
that's interesting.
You know, but see, this is the kind of thing that we envisioned for the Starbonds project.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a perfect fit for Southern Illinois at the intersection of Route 13 and 57 and at the gateway of the Shawnee National Forest and the Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge. I can't think of a better fit.
Oh, it couldn't be better. It is a great fit. We're really excited. We're looking forward to it.
Have they given you a word on what they're expecting as far as hiring employees?
Well, someplace along the line, I think I'd heard there would probably be 30 to 35 permanent employees.
Right. Well, that's good. We take what we can get, too. Big store, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah. The store is supposed to be 52,000 square feet. And I understand that they expect to do something between $20 and $30 million in sales a year.
All right. How do you explain to people why businesses like this come to Marion, Illinois?
Well, a number of reasons, I think. One, of course, is our location. We're right in the heart of southern Illinois. We're 40 miles from the Ohio, a little less than that, to the Mississippi. We're 50 miles north of Carroll, where they come together. We're right in the center, and, of course, we have the intersection of State Route 13 and Interstate 57. And then we do have rail connections. You can put freight on a car on a track here in Marion, and it can be taken to any place in the continental United States. There are very few towns that can make that statement. And then, of course, the personality of the mayor is a big factor.
I'd heard that had been in theirs too. Which, you know what, you could say that's flippant there, but Mayor Butler, but you know what's interesting is I did an interview on Monday. I'm trying to line up area businesses that I find exciting and are doing interesting things. And yesterday it was Grand River Spirits. They make moonshine now in Jackson County. But on Monday, I had Roddy Kabnish and Chad Zimbro in the studio from Black Diamond Harley Davidson.
Black Diamond, yeah.
And one of the things they say is Mayor Butler is good for business in Marion and has always supported us. Which, you know, kind of think about this, you know, from some people's outside looking in, you know what I mean, the mayor supports them big old Harley Davidson fellers. And granted, when you've got, you know, stereotypes that go on like that, but the fact is, I talk to many businesses that feel that way about you and the city of Marion.
Well, that's good to hear. And of course, we try, we really work overtime being business friendly. And the reason of that is if you have business, you have jobs. And when you have jobs, your people are going to work and they're making money and they're fueling the economy. Success feeds on success. We're on a roll, and we have been for some time, and I just hope it continues.
Yeah, and there's always got to be that sense that you're nudging people in the right direction and growing in the right direction. You and I both know that government doesn't, in fact, create jobs.
But it
sure as heck can stop them.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I feel like a salmon trying to swim upstream because we try to knock down obstacles. We try to get rid of the barriers. But the state seems to keep throwing in the roadblocks. And, of course, the federal government isn't helping either. But that being said, if you don't aggressively push forward, you're dead.
Yeah. One of the obstacles you've been talking about recently in Marion is the fact that the city of Marion is ranked third in the state for number of police and fire employees on disability. What's interesting is there's a parallel to this historically to Williamson County as a whole. Mm. Back when I ran for county commissioner, we had a lot of people on disability. And I know they went into a special program with the highway department in rewarding some employees, rewarding employees for, good work habits and things along that line.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your idea for rectifying this situation?
Well, the way the legislation is set up, Your pension board for both the police and firemen have a majority of either the firemen or the policemen. And it seems that our people really bend over backwards trying to take care of a brother. I don't feel that they've been really objective enough. And we've got a couple of guys that are on disability, and yet they're working 8 hours a day on some other job. Frankly, I don't know how they have the can be so brazen as to do that. They're flaunting what they're doing, and so whenever we rank third in the state on the police and firemen on disability, that ought to tell us something. It is a problem we have to address, because once these people get on disability, and I'm not criticizing those who are legitimately disabled, but once they get on disability, they're there for life. And suppose they take disability at 50 and they live to be 80, the liability of the city for their disability pension can mount up to astronomical figures.
We're going to see changes in the state of Illinois. You and I could kind of come to a point where we accepted the way business was done in Illinois under the current administration. We know we were going to have a woe is me story. We need more money.
Yeah.
And then the specter of cuts, but not very realistic. Well, with the change in management after the last election, I think the people of Illinois from top to bottom are going to have to learn to dance to a new tune.
Yes, absolutely. I do not envy the new governor, his job, his responsibility. And, of course, he's going to be faced with the expiration of the income tax surcharge. That's a 67% increase. If that is allowed to stop, to terminate, then the state's deficit hole is going to get bigger. And I don't know how the new governor is going to be able to address that. Now, of course, there are always you look at ways to cut costs, cut expenses, and it might mean that there will be massive layoff on state employees as a beginning, and there may be other state programs that are going to have to be curtailed. It's tough decisions, but they have to be made.
I was just doing some of the rough math. They're saying, look, with they're talking about 30% reduction and, 15 here, 18% here. But the rough number is, that in the future that maybe we'll see $4 million less for Southern Illinois University. Well, the given multiplier is 7. So we're actually talking about $28 million in economic impact. And that's by the standards that are commonly taught in school when it comes to economics. We're not making stuff up here, and the fact is that $28 million absence won't be just in Carbondale or just Jackson County.
No, it's felt across the area.
Yes, and that's just one of the things. Like, well, SIUs are going to lose $4 million. I think until horse, wagon, and how this all works, and that this ecology, this financial ecology and food chain, and start looking at it that way. That you see, you and I are both old enough to remember when everybody was in it for themselves, and then we developed a sense of regionality, and I think that leads to this kind of thinking. It's not just SIU on the hook here.
Oh, no. Once that takes effect, if it does, it's going to go across the board. It will be a tremendous hit, devastating, as a matter of fact, because when you start taking that kind of money out of your economy, you're affecting jobs, you're affecting people's take-home checks. Yeah. It could be bad.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to the election, the coming election now, the last I had count was 11 people searching for a position in the mayor and city council. Is that number changed, 10?
Yeah, it's up to 12.
Is it 12 now? Okay.
And it's interesting that we have so many citizens of Marion who are interested in being on the city council. It's good. I think that's great.
I think it's healthy. Interest. I do. I think it's healthy.
And, of course, when they take out the packets with the petitions and all the necessary documentation, they don't have to declare what position they're running for. So at this point in time, I don't know if there are going to be any other candidates for mayor. I don't know how many of the people taking packets are going to run for commissioner. But you will know the day that everybody files.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at it this way. Marion's got, you said 12 now running for city council. Carbondale, it's 3. See,
well,
see, you know, I don't know how to interpret that, but I know I feel that's significant and comparatively speaking.
Well, I suppose there are several different ways of looking at it. Maybe the people here think that being on the city council, being a commissioner or a mayor, is a matter of prestige. Maybe they think they can do a good job, improve everything for the city. There are any number of reasons for candidates to step forward over Carbondale. With all due respect, I would hate to be on their city council with the problems that they have ongoing, and I can see why there would be such a paucity of candidates.
Yeah. Mayor Bob Butler, you know, you and I always talk about business because we know how important it is to the well-being of the area.
Right.
You know, I never look at as an employer, fellow employee, as one person. I always think there's one person and that works here, and then there's another piece, a person at home that mm-hmm. shares in that paycheck, and then they share theirs, and then, you know, the 1.7 mm-hmm. or 2.3 kids at home and the dog in the house and
yeah.
the pets, that there's a responsibility there that I feel very strongly about, and I know you do too. And we've come to the point of the year where a lot of businesses, they don't call it Black Friday because it's bad. They call it Black Friday because it's good. Because it gets them in the black. And I think that's
right.
What people sometimes seem to forget, that this wrapping up the end of the year, I know you go out and you look in parking lots just to see how many of their open spots there. It's packed. That's a good indicator.
Absolutely. And so many businesses depend on this season of retail sales to make their year. It's a vital, vital part of the time.
Whether it's a car dealer or a jewelry store.
It doesn't matter.
You know, and I think we come accustomed to that. You just know, oh, it's Black Friday and it's going to be packed. No, packed is good.
Oh, I should say, a few years ago we had a big snowstorm just a couple weeks before Christmas, and the mall and all the parking areas were covered with snow. the mall people couldn't afford to remove the snow. We sent our people out to do that because we knew that we had to have customers for the sales so that we would generate sales tax. We spent city money, but we got it back tenfold.
See, and that is the very definition of government and business partnership. In my mind, that is the excellent example of what a partnership is between government and business.
That's the way we look at it. One hand washes the other, and as long as government and business can cooperate, good things are going to happen.
Marion Mayor Bob Butler. Mayor Butler, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Tom, and don't eat too much turkey.
I'll try my best. It's now 8:38.